Coming up on Encouragement Live, those of us on Medicare are required to get an annual physical to see how our bodies are holding up. Tonight we'll focus on a spiritual checkup to see how we're doing with our walk with the Lord. Rebecca Carroll of Dallas Seminary joins us.
Welcome to Encouragement Live, providing biblically based encouragement and insight on a wide range of practical life issues. Now here's your host, Don Hawkins, author of Master Discipleship Today.
Thank you, Steve. And friend, it's so good to have you with us as live from studios located in First Christian Church of Wylie, Texas, Encouragement Communications presents Encouragement Live. Our mission is to provide biblically based encouragement and insight and hope. And the only authentic source of hope in our world is the Bible. Now, if you are on Medicare, you know well that insurance requires an annual physical, a wellness check, to determine how our bodies are holding up. Tonight, we want to engage for a spiritual checkup, an evaluation of how we're doing in our walk with the Lord. And the new year is a great time to do that. And a great person to talk with me about this is Rebecca Carroll. Rebecca, it's great to have you back with me on the program.
Don, it's so good to be back. Thank you for having me.
It's always a joy. Rebecca is well known to folks in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, longtime media host on KCBI for about 10 years there. Also started their Faith Women's Conference during that time. And now Rebecca serves as the Director of Apprenticeship and Special Projects for the Media Arts and Worship Department at Dallas Theological Seminary, and we are pleased to have the partnership with DTS.edu. Rebecca is a joyful Jesus follower, wife to Mike, mother to Caitlin and Nick. By the way, Rebecca, I have a granddaughter named Caitlin, and spells her name just one letter different from your. There are about seven ways to spell Caitlin, I believe.
Does she use the K?
No, she uses the C, but two I's instead of an I and a Y. And Nick, there's only one way to spell Nick, I think.
I know of.
Yeah, that you know. Bible teacher, conference speaker, author, award-winning broadcaster, graduated from DTS with her Master of Arts in Christian Education, currently working on her Doctor of Education, and spent over 20 years on the radio in Dallas-Fort Worth and mentoring and teaching students at Dallas Seminary in the Media Arts and Worship and Educational Ministries and Leadership Department. You don't have a lot of spare time from all of that, Rebecca.
You know, it's really funny. Anytime I hear someone introduce me, I get tired.
Yeah.
I think it sounds like more than it is.
Yeah. But you also have a website, RebeccaCarroll.com. Folks like to check that out. And of course, we always like to tell you about the Dallas Seminary website, DTS.edu, and a lot of free courses available that people could start on the first of the year. Would be a great jump start for their spiritual lives, I would think. Now, Rebecca, let's talk about why we may need a spiritual checkup at the beginning of the year.
I'll tell you why I was thinking about this. Shortly before the new year, I had a colonoscopy.
Yeah.
And it's not my first time. I'm at that age, but this time they removed a couple polyps. And the funny thing about that is that I had no idea they were there. I couldn't see them. I couldn't feel them. They didn't cause any symptoms. But if we had let them go on for years without removing them, ultimately they would have caused colon cancer.
Yeah.
And cancer is a devastating diagnosis, no matter what the ultimate outcome is. And so to avoid it, we get all of our checkups so that we can catch problems in their infancy. And the same is true for us spiritually. Our spiritual journey is our walk with the Lord. And if we are even one degree off course, over time, that causes us to drift further and further from His will. And as I was thinking about this, I thought, you know, a spiritual checkup is really a biblical concept. In Psalm 139, David wrote, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting." And what's interesting about that is that David is showing us that we don't always know what's going on in our hearts.
We'll be right back on Encouragement Live.
We are 100 years old.
Dallas Theological Seminary President Dr. Mark Yarbrough on the seminary's motto, teach truth, love well.
That is what we do. That's our slogan that we use. Obviously, it's preach the word. For all of us, we are called to teach truth and live it out.
To learn more about how Dallas Theological Seminary can equip you for biblically based Christian service, visit dts.edu. That's dts.edu.
Are you looking for family-friendly television or biblical studies with informative programming? Let me introduce you to CrossFlix. From children's cartoons to in-depth studies to inspiring music, CrossFlix is an ever-growing community of broadcasting developed for the family, now available for Roku, Apple TV, Fire Stick, Apple iOS, and Chromecast. Search through our on-demand library with a free trial. CrossFlix. Entertain. Educate. Inspire.
We are back on Encouragement Live. I'm Don Hawkins. Rebecca Carroll is with me tonight. She is with Dallas Theological Seminary, where she teaches, mentors, and carries on a whole host of ministries. And she has her own website, RebeccaCarroll.com. You can check that out. And she produces a podcast. It seems like, Rebecca, all of us are producing podcasts these days. Does it seem that way to you?
It's a popular medium for sure.
It certainly is. And what is the title again of your podcast? I want to be sure I get this correctly.
It's called Honestly, Though. Real talk, real life, real faith. And Honestly, Though exists to have faith conversations for life transformation.
Okay. Honestly, Though is the title. Then the subtitle has three reels in there, and R-E-A-L-S, not R-E-E-L-S. So, but check out Rebecca's podcast. What day does yours drop, by the way?
Mondays.
Mine drops on Wednesdays. Mine is called Encouragement for You, and I don't have a subtitle. Maybe I should go to work on coming up with that. Now, we're talking about needing a spiritual checkup, and you mentioned polyps and a colonoscopy, and I was just reminded when I visited with my doctor on Thursday that I had multiple polyps last time, and therefore they wanted me to come back in within the next few months for another colonoscopy. And again, as you say, the risk there is that if you put that off, you could have cancer, you could lose your life, you could lose your health. The question, I believe, Rebecca, then is, how do we go about evaluating our walk with the Lord? Now, for a lot of people, it's church attendance or giving or acts of good works or charity. But is that really the way to evaluate our spiritual health?
Well, you know, it's a good question, because it can be, but not necessarily. Because in Matthew 7, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father. And then he says, on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. And the scary thing about Jesus's words is that he's describing church people. If they're prophesying and casting out demons and doing mighty works in his name, these are people who are actively engaged in a fruit-bearing ministry. But the difference is that Jesus said he never knew them. And why would he say that? Because there's no relationship there. There's no intimacy with the Holy Spirit. And so I think a lot of people go to church, do Bible study, and serve without ever knowing Jesus and having that intimate relationship established. And so when you have that intimacy with the Lord, typically the signs are that you are going to church, you are living generously, you are acting charitably. But it's an issue of the motivations of our heart.
Yeah, we want to discuss that in depth tonight. Rebecca Carroll is with me, and great place to start with evaluating, have you genuinely trusted Christ? That is the place to begin. And it may be tonight we're talking with someone who does not absolutely know for sure that if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven. You're not sure you've placed your trust in him. We want to talk with you about that. Our toll-free number is 855-586-LIFE. 855-586-5433, and we will be right back. CrossFlix, a complete multimedia platform at your fingertips, featuring faith-based movies and shows for the whole family, plus an amazing library of interactive online Bible courses such as Jerusalem, the Eternal City, and Revealing the Secrets of the Hebrew Bible.
You'll have access to your own community and join others on their spiritual journey. You may join as an individual or as a church and develop connections like never before.
CrossFlix has partnered with the SEAL Future Foundation and Bless IL to support brave American and Israeli military veterans and their families suffering from trauma. The relationship between the U.S. and Israel is a long-standing one of strength and divine connection, and one that must continue to be nurtured.
When you join CrossFlix, you'll see firsthand the amazing work you'll help support, providing encouragement and hope to American and Israeli veterans and families.
CrossFlix.com. Educate, entertain, and inspire.
Sat7 is satellite Christian television.
Dr. Rex Rogers, president of Sat7.
We broadcast throughout the Middle East and North Africa every day, 24/7, in Arabic, Farsi, and Turkish. Farsi is Iran. So we're speaking in the people's home and heart language. We're sharing the gospel.
To learn more or support this ministry, visit sat7usa.org. That's S-A-T, the number 7, USA.org.
Toni King on her new book, The Maze of Medicare.
I looked up on the internet how many books have biblical in regards to Medicare, and there was zero. And then God brought you into my life, and you helped me write The Maze of Medicare because we took Medicare and put scripture with it. Because people are stressed. They don't know what to do, where to turn.
You can order The Maze of Medicare at TonySays.com. That's T-O-N-I, TonySays.com. We're back on Encouragement Live. Don Hawkins with Rebecca Carroll, and we appreciate our broadcast team tonight. One of our team members, Brad Smithart, produced this music you're listening to and other music. You can Google Brad Smithart if you'd like to download some of that easy listening music. And with us tonight, Danny and Rodney and Chris and Riley and Keith, and we appreciate all of our team members. And Rebecca Carroll is with me, our guest this evening from Dallas Theological Seminary, the Director of Apprenticeships and Special Projects for the Media Arts and Worship Department at Dallas Theological Seminary. Like you say, Rebecca, those biographies can be exhausting if you're not careful, even the titles, but you are doing a lot. What are you teaching this semester, by the way?
This semester, I'm teaching a class called Podcasting and Social Media Marketing for Ministry, and I am co-teaching a class called Women Teaching Women, which is training women how to teach Bible studies.
Oh, that's a great couple of classes to be teaching there. We encourage our listening family to pray for Rebecca and the impact of that ministry. And speaking of praying for things, there are a lot of things happening right now. There are the fires out in California. People have been devastated there. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for people in Israel, as it seems like there could very well be a ceasefire taking place with Hamas and the Israelis, and the possibility of release of hostages who've been held for almost 500 days, even longer than those hostages that were held before Ronald Reagan took office. Just incredible. A lot to pray about there. And, of course, a new president, a new administration. We're told to pray for kings and those in authority. So we need to pray for President Trump as he takes the oath of office, and for the new cabinet and others coming in. Rebecca, that's a lot to pray about. Would you lead us in prayer, and let's lift up those specific things?
I would love to. Most merciful and gracious Father, thank you that we can come to you and trust that you are completely sovereign. Lord, you know the state of the world and everything going on, and you know the needs of those in California. Lord, we ask that you would drench out the fires, and that you would use this tragedy to call many people to you, that they would seek you and that they would find you when they seek you. And to our brothers and sisters in Israel, Lord, we ask that strengthen them, give them endurance, Lord, and cause them to cry out to you, that they might know you and serve you with their lives, Lord. Please help them to rebuild their lives. And then, Lord, as our president, prepares to take office and as his new administration is set in place, Lord, we ask that you would be so near to them, that they would sense you and that they would seek you in everything that they do. We ask that you would inspire a great country and that we would call to you, humble ourselves before you and pray to you, and that you would indeed visit us and hear our prayers, Lord. More than anything, Father, we pray that we would grow more and more in the likeness of Christ. And we do pray this in the mighty name of Jesus and by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen and amen. Rebecca Carroll with me tonight on Encouragement Live. Our toll-free number is 855-586-LIFE. That translates to 855-586-5433. We're talking about taking a spiritual checkup at the beginning of the year. And Rebecca, you certainly started at the right place. The first place to measure our spiritual life is to determine, do we have it or do we not have it? And you pointed us to Matthew 7. So let's talk about how a person can know for certain that they've trusted Christ as Savior. How can we be sure?
You know, Don, one of the things that I have found is that if someone is genuinely worried that they do not have a real and active relationship with Christ, they probably do. I worry more about the people who are just going about their lives assuming that things are great. And I think that's what we want to get at tonight is it's really easy for us to assume that we're doing well, but every now and then it's just really good to stop down and check our spiritual pulse and see if we are walking in the Lord's will or if there is some area in our lives that's kind of escaped our attention. I think sometimes of the author of Hebrews, what he wrote in 12:15, he says, "See to it that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled." We don't always know when those seeds of bitterness are in our heart. And one of the things that that passage tells us is that when that root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, it's not just us who are affected. It says by it many become defiled. And so I think one way to ask, to assess how we're doing is to simply ask, God, is there anything between us? Am I doing anything that offends you? Is there anything you need to bring to my mind? Is there a relationship that I need to reconcile?
Yeah, those are great thoughts in terms of evaluating our lives. I was thinking about last fall, I had the privilege of speaking for a leadership conference in India. And while I was there teaching a short course on discipleship to some of the master's level students there, and I gave them four words to talk about sharing the gospel: sins, penalty, paid, so trust. And maybe tonight, friend, if you have questions about your relationship with Christ, sin, Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, we've all sinned and fallen short of His glory. The penalty in Romans 6:23 is spiritual death, separation from God. But the penalty was paid based on Romans 5:8 when Christ died for us while we were still sinners, and we can trust Him just like John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Now, Rebecca, you're in the world of academics, and I know you'll get a kick out of this. I gave a 9-question final exam to those students, and they answered with those 4 points, but they answered about 4 different questions out of the 9 I gave them. So those 4 words stuck with them. Yeah, but they basically gave that as the answer. It was like they were saying, the gospel is the answer to everything.
Well, you know what? They're not wrong.
Not hard to argue. It's hard to argue with that. That's absolutely true. Now, back on our subject after I chased a rabbit there, how can we maybe we could pinpoint 4 or 5 points for evaluation? You've suggested 1 point would be asking God, is there anything in my life that is displeasing to you? And I think that is a great place to start. But maybe there are some specific things that we could look at and say, well, this shows progress or this shows some decline.
Yeah, I think one question to ask ourselves is, are we spending time with God in His Word? Our relationship with Jesus is just that. It's a relationship. And I think of my husband. You know, I love him with all my heart, and I cannot imagine a relationship with him in which I didn't listen to what he had to say, or going a day without talking to him. And really what we're doing when we read the Bible is we are allowing God to speak to us in the most clear way that he has provided for us. I believe God speaks through general revelation. We can look around and see evidence of God in nature, but scripture is his clearest revelation to us that we have today if we want to know what he's saying.
Yes.
I think another good question to ask is, am I worshiping him with my life? And not just in song on Sundays. Paul said in Ephesians 6, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord and not people. And so how does that apply to everything we do? Everything we do, we should do with excellence, remembering that it's an act of worship. It's an act of service to the Lord.
Very
good. Spending time in prayer is huge.
I was just thinking about prayer is obviously fitting right in with time in the Word. You mentioned your husband, and I'm thinking about Kathy and the fact that I enjoy listening to her, but I enjoy sharing with her and talking with her. And certainly we have that kind of a relationship with our spouses, but with the Lord, you know, are we praying? Are we investing time in prayer? Are we seeing answers to prayer? Talk to us about how prayer life factors in.
What prayer is, I mean, that is our direct line. That is the red phone we have to the throne room. And it's not just spending time talking to God and asking for things. I mean, praying and listening, quieting ourselves before the Lord, giving him time and space to impress things on our hearts. I remember, I try to remind myself all the time that even before it occurs to me to ask something from the Lord, he already knows the desires of my heart and he already knows my needs. And so he wants us to come. He wants us to ask and keep asking. But I think he also means for us sometimes to sit in just quiet acknowledgement of his presence.
Very, very important for us to keep that in mind, that we need to meditate on his word, to be thinking about his word, and not just approaching God as though he were the genie that we had three wishes for. And I think sometimes that's the approach people take to a prayer life. And the reality is we want to see answers to our prayer. And I think there's a statement in the Psalms that if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But the psalmist went on to say, God has heard me. And answered prayer, I believe, can be one indicator if we're walking closely with the Lord. What are some of the causes, things that might cause our relationship with God to become flat or not going so well?
Well, you know, that's such a good question. I think one thing is when we find ourselves just drifting from those spiritual practices. But I also think any relationship goes flat when it becomes purely transactional. And so if my relationship with God revolves around me going to him and asking for things, it's transactional. And if I'm doing good things in hopes that God will bless me, that's transactional. And the danger of that is that we are not always going to get the things we ask for. God is far more interested in our character than our comfort. And so we can rest in the knowledge that he is going to meet our needs, but those are not always going to line up with what we want. I noticed this in my own life a while back. My journal entries were thanking God for his blessings and then essentially asking him for more blessings. And I started to realize that, yeah, I'm just missing it here. And I think when we do that, we're assuming that our plans are the best plan, and then asking God to bless them. I think the better thing to do is to start our prayers with thy will be done.
Yes.
Here's what I'm doing today, God bless it. What if we prayed, here's my day, God, use it.
Yeah.
What would you have me do? Who would you have me love? I don't sense a direct word from you, God, then I'm going to listen for your voice all day long and trust that you will nudge me when there's something you want me to do.
Important words to remember about our prayer lives from Rebecca Carroll. Our toll-free number is 855-586-5433.
There are only two ways that your affairs will be settled after you pass away. Your way or the government's way. For anyone without a will or trust in place, the government will settle it through probate. So we must all ask ourselves, do I want the government to decide how my minor children get their inheritance and where my assets go, and then charge my heirs probate and court fees to make that happen? Or do I want to protect my family from probate and steward the resources that God has entrusted to me by determining how the assets that I leave behind will be used? Find out what you need to know and do to protect your heirs at a free webinar with His Faithful Stewards. This free webinar will discuss wills and trusts and help you understand it all. Go to HisFaithfulStewards.com and find the link for webinars. There's a place there under webinars where you can sign up. That's HisFaithfulStewards.com and the link to webinars. HisFaithfulStewards.com.
When you need to consider independent or assisted living or memory care for a parent or spouse, Restoration Senior Living provides a distinctly Christian setting with the most stringent quality care. Restoration's innovative program addresses the medical, emotional, and spiritual dimensions, leading to an enhanced quality of life. You can learn more at RestorationSL.com. That's RestorationSL.com.
For over 30 years, Don Hawkins has provided radio encouragement with a variety of gifted guests. Now you can be encouraged by these interviews with guests like Greg and Aaron Smalley, Dan Cathy, Dr. Frank Minrith, Josh McDowell, and more. Subscribe to the weekly Encouragement for You podcast, dropping Wednesdays at lifeaudio.com or at your favorite podcast app.
Welcome back to Encouragement Live. Our toll-free number is 855-586-LIFE. Here again is your host, Don Hawkins, author of Master Discipleship Today.
Tonight, Rebecca Carroll and I are talking about ways we can evaluate our spiritual walk with the Lord. The early part of the new year is a great time to do that, and we touched on some things like time in the Word, time in prayer, worshiping God with our lives, and avoiding just being transactional with the Lord. That was a great term that you used, Rebecca. I like that, transactional, sort of ties in with my illustration of the genie and the three wishes. And
right.
Yeah, because so many times, I'm not seeing answers to prayer. Maybe God has a different plan, a different purpose than what we're intending to do. It seems like sometimes we tend to treat God as though He exists for us instead of the other way around. That was something that you put in your notes for the program tonight, and I thought that's a great statement. Maybe you could elaborate on that.
Yes, absolutely. I do think that when we start to drift into that transactional type of relationship with the Lord, we think that our relationship with God is there so that God can do the things that we want Him to do. And I don't think any of us think those words exactly. I don't think we're articulating that, but I think if you look at our behavior, we'll find that it betrays what we actually believe. And when we can remember that God created us and He sent His Son to save us, and that we exist for Him, we can remember that we will only be truly human. We will only be fully alive when we are living for Him. I think that if we can remember that at the end of the day, there are three things God wants to use us for, and that this is the reason we live, we will have full and purpose-filled lives. The first thing God wants to use us for is to share His Son. The second thing is to love His people. And the third thing is to build His kingdom. And so no matter what we're doing in life, no matter where our paths take us, those are the three things He wants to use us for. And He will never fail to use us in that capacity.
Yeah. Yeah.
We are offering our day up to him to share his son, love his people, and build his kingdom. That's why we exist. And when we can remember that, that makes every sphere of life a mission field and an adventure.
Love the way you put that, Rebecca. And as you know, the three laws of learning are repetition, and you probably figured out the third one. So would you repeat those three purposes again, just so we make sure we have those down?
Absolutely. You know, with every breath you take, you can remember that God wants to use you to share his son, love his people, and build his kingdom.
Love that. Share his son, love his people, build his kingdom. I had just jotted down a note about having a heart for lost people, and it seems to me to tie into sharing his son. So let's get into that a little bit. Not everybody has the gift of evangelism like your friend and mine, Larry Moyer, or some other people we know, but all of us have a responsibility to share Christ, correct?
Yeah. And the thing is, Don, is that we all have a story. Not everyone is, you know, the call on your life may not be to stop someone in a shopping mall and tell them about Jesus, but we can all be kind to people, start conversations, and find ways to insert our own story. We are always going to come up against people who will argue the tenets of the Christian faith until they're blue in the face, but no one can argue with our own personal story. And so I think when we have our story of what the Lord did in our lives on lock, and we're ready to share that at a moment's notice, that is our most powerful evangelical tool. And that does not require you to have a master's degree in Bible and theology.
No, it doesn't. But it may be God leading you in that direction. And if he is, check out Dallas Theological Seminary. Thank you for the transition there. The website, dts.edu. Have to keep Mark and the rest of the troops there happy, you know. So there are free courses available. There is everything up to a PhD in biblical and theological studies, and a doctor of ministry and education, like Rebecca is working on. You could get into that. Any of those kinds of things. Just check out the website and browse around there, dts.edu. But I love the fact that you're suggesting sharing our story about how we came to Christ and the difference that he's made in our lives. Seems to me, Rebecca, that fits right in with 1 Peter 3:15, where we're told to be ready always to give an answer, the reason for the hope that lies within us, but to do it with meekness and reverence.
Spoken like a true theologian.
Well, what can I say? 855-586-5433. You and I both graduated with master's degrees from Dallas Seminary. We're thankful for that. Amy is listening tonight in Arkansas over American Family Radio. Amy, thank you for calling us tonight. Go ahead.
Yes, hello tonight. And I was just going to ask y'all that with all the noise in the world, I still just want to love like Jesus, you know, all the rudeness, like y'all were saying, how being kind, it's free, you know, and it's contagious. And just, you know, with all the things going on, I just want to love even more like Jesus. And I was just going to ask y'all to pray for me tonight, to just be a light in my territory and to be able to love like Jesus.
Well, we would love to do that, Amy, and I'm so thankful that you brought up Christ-likeness because, really, Rebecca, all of the things that we've talked about tonight are sort of like spokes in a wheel, and right in the middle of that wheel is Christ-likeness. Do you think that would be a good analogy?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I'll tell you, Amy, it just pleases the Lord so much to hear that your desire is to love people more like he does. I mean, you're sounding to me like you look an awful lot like Jesus right now.
I think so. And so, Amy, we want to pray for you tonight. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you for Amy, for the fact that she wants to be more like you, that she wants to represent you well. She wants to touch other lives for you. And Lord, give her opportunities, and may she have the grace and the power and the strength to seize those opportunities when she can love people well. And Lord, if she has the opportunity opportunity to share her story and tell people about the Savior. I pray that you would bless her in that as well. Supply her needs, I pray, for Christ's sake. Amen. Thank you, Amy.
Thank you so much.
God bless you. Good to hear from you. Boy, Rebecca, what a great question. How can I be more like the Lord Jesus Christ? That might be a question that we all should ask ourselves at the beginning of the day.
You know, it reminds me of a time when my sweet daughter was about 5 years old. And she was just, I mean, she really was just the most precious little thing until she wasn't. And then all of a sudden, she started getting really, really sassy. And I couldn't figure it out until I sat down with her one day with her on the Disney Channel. And I realized that all of the characters on the show were sassy preteens and their parents were all dumb. And, you know, they were getting cheap laughs by just, you know, outrageous behavior and things like that. And it occurred to me that we really do start to look like the people we're spending time with. Wow. One of my friends who's a Bible teacher says, we become what we behold. And so when our nose is in scripture every day, we're going to start to look a lot like Jesus. When we're engaging with communities of believers, we are and people who bring out the best in us, we're going to start to look more and more and more like Christ.
And that's another reason why it's important for us not to abandon the assembling of ourselves together with other believers, because we can encourage each other. And sometimes people get beaten over the head by preachers with that reference in Hebrews 10:25, and we ignore the last part of the verse. It is important for us to assemble together. And I think since COVID, it's been very easy for us to attend Mattress Methodist and you know, Bedside Baptist,
right,
Church of the Online, can we call it that?
Right.
In reality, right, we need to be with people, whether it's in a small group, in a corporate worship, all of those kinds of things, because we help each other, we encourage each other, we build each other up, and you've pointed that out, Rebecca. We need each other in the body of Christ, and there's no question about that. There is another thing that you mentioned earlier that I really think plays into this spiritual checkup thing. You mentioned the Hebrews 12 passage, the root of bitterness. Maybe an issue is that we may be allowing bitterness to creep into our lives over things that we've lost, over health issues, over financial challenges, those kinds of things. And I remember a number of years ago, we were in the process of getting ready to start the Menrith Meyer Clinic, and Frank Menrith and Joe was the president of Moody Bible Institute at the time, and myself, we were in a meeting and talking about what did we think was the number one spiritual and emotional problem in America. And literally in harmony, the words came out of everybody's mouth, bitterness. And you might talk about how we need to deal with bitterness in our lives.
Well, I think it's very easy for bitterness to spring up when we think God exists for us and we forget that we exist for God. We very quickly forget that Jesus told us that in this world we will have trouble, but that he has overcome the world. And so when we are going through things like loss and health issues and financial challenges, I think what we need to remember is that that is the norm. That is the normal state of existence. And what I mean by that is we are always coming out of a storm, in a storm, or walking into a storm.
Yes.
But when we can remember that the reason we exist is to share God's Son, love his people, and build his kingdom, we can realize that it's during those difficult times that people are most ripe for the gospel. And this is also just so crucial to remember that the Lord didn't promise us easy. He promised us his presence.
Very important. So, yes. Go ahead.
Oh, we are always going to go through difficulties, but we can always cling to the reminder that we are never in them alone. And there is never a point in your life when the Holy Spirit is not ministering to you.
We are at a time when our society is falling apart and we must cling to the cross of Christ. The Witness webcast is a production of Crucible of Faith Ministries. And here, you will find sound teaching and expert commentary that will anchor you on the finished work of Christ at Calvary. Visit us today at www.crucibleoffaith.ca and find the answers you will need for such a time as ours today. That's www.crucibleoffaith.ca.
What do Chuck Swindoll, David Jeremiah, and Erwin Lutzer have in common? They all trained to preach God's Word at Dallas Theological Seminary, and you can train at DTS too. If you've been called to preach or teach God's Word, find a degree or course that's right for you on one of our campuses or online at dts.edu. Dallas Theological Seminary, where they teach truth and love well. Visit dts.edu.
The older people grow, the more important it is that they have savings that are not at risk in the stock market.
Here's an important warning from Roxanne Intermule of HisFaithfulStewards.com.
I've seen many people in their 50s that have all their savings still in a 401k or some other market-based account that is fully at risk of loss.
Roxanne and her team offer practical financial counsel to people from all age groups.
It could be that they need to start saving for the future in retirement, or maybe they've already done those things and they just need to be good managers of what God's given them and get their money to where it can grow well but won't be at risk of loss in the stock market. Or maybe they need to get a will or a trust in place to protect their family from the cost and stresses of probate.
You can schedule a free and confidential time to talk with Roxanne at her website, HisFaithfulStewards.com. Just follow the links on the website to set a good time to talk, or you may call the office to set a time. That's HisFaithfulStewards.com. We are in the final segment of tonight's program as we talk about the subject of spiritual checkup. How are we doing in our walk with the Lord at the beginning of this new year, which is about 2 weeks underway now? Rebecca Carroll is with me tonight, and her website is RebeccaCarroll.com. You can check out some of the things that she's done and also what she's doing at Dallas Theological Seminary and in her podcast, which is Honestly, Though, Real Talk, Real Life, Real Faith. Did I get that right, Rebecca?
You got it right.
Oh, you never know. Sometimes it works. Now, we're talking about dealing with bitterness and that sort of thing. And maybe somebody has done us wrong. In fact, we may have somebody listening to our program tonight, and maybe people have done you wrong, and you've struggled with that. You feel hurt. You feel bitter. And maybe because of that, you even feel a little upset with God about things. We would love to pray with you. We'd love to encourage you. We'd love to try to help you get through that and get back on track with the Lord and with people. 855-586-5433 is our number. That's 855-586-LIFE. Now, you've talked about this whole thing of God existing for us as opposed to our existing for God. That sort of reminds me of Jeremiah talking about the potter and the clay. And, the clay was not, according to Jeremiah, in a position to say to the potter, why are you doing this to me? Would you elaborate on that a little bit?
Sure, yes. The Lord tells Jeremiah to go down and look at the potter. And I think even that pottery image is a reminder that we're all created for different things. And the Lord is the one who is shaping our life and setting us on a path. And we will be frustrated when we start to believe that we got the short end of the stick or that our lot is not as desirable as someone else's. But David wrote that the boundary lines have fallen for us in pleasant places and that what the Lord has allotted to us is exactly right for us. And if it wasn't, he would have allotted something else. And I think that it goes back to the three principles that I mentioned before. When we remember that the reason we exist is to share God's Son, love His people, and build His kingdom, we can do that no matter where He's put us or what we're doing or what our vocation looks like.
You know, that ties into a chapter of a book I'm working on right now, based on one of the words in Ephesians 2, verse 10. We are His workmanship, His poema, created in Christ Jesus to good works, wherein God has before ordained that we should be walking in them. And sharing God's Son, loving God's people, and building God's kingdom seems to me to be three outflows of being God's workmanship.
That's right. Yeah. And what a beautiful picture that we don't have to build ourselves. We don't have to make a name for ourselves. We don't have to establish a platform for ourselves. God has already, He already calls us His workmanship. We are His creation. We are His piece of art. I think poema can even be traced back to the word poem.
Yes.
And so when we remember that we are exactly who God made us to be, and that if we will listen to God every day, He will put us exactly where He wants us to be, that relieves some of the pressure that we're up against every day, against a world that tells us you have this, be this, say this, you know, go here, do that, drive this. But it's exhausting.
Yeah, we sometimes, my wife Kathy has a saying that she does a workshop on Martha, and she says sometimes we act like we are a human doing as opposed to a human being.
Oh, that's so good. So good.
So I like to quote her on that. Now, Rebecca, suppose tonight some of us have been candid enough to ourselves to admit that maybe we're not as well off spiritually as we thought we were. How do we begin to turn that around even tonight?
I'm so glad you asked that question. I think the first thing we can do is simply admit it, and then also understand that our spiritual walk with Jesus is hills, valleys, plains. We get a few mountaintop moments in our lives, and those are wonderful, but they're not normative. Mm. I think that those are tiny glimpses of eternity. They don't last very long. And if life were one long mountaintop moment, we'd have no need for faith. Our faith is what sustains us through the valleys and over the plains of life. And where we know God is there cognitively, but we don't always sense His presence. So right now, you can start by just telling God that you feel flat, that you don't love Him like you want to love Him, that you're not excited about Him, and that you want Him to fix that in your heart, that you want more of Him. What father wouldn't give more of himself to his child that asked him?
Yeah.
And then, Don, you mentioned community just a moment ago, and I just think that's a really important piece that we tend to forget. And so I would say the next thing to do is to tell your people and have them pray for you. When our faith feels flat, and it will, because that's just part of the spiritual journey, then we should call on our faithful friends to intercede for us.
You know, I think, go ahead. You got another one, too. No, you finish your thought there.
Well, we've talked about them already. Get into the Bible and ask God to reveal any sin or bitterness or unforgiveness in your heart that you might not be aware of.
Yeah. Very important thoughts for us to keep in mind. I was thinking of a couple of passages of Scripture that tie into those. 1 John 1:9, you know, maybe we have some sins that we need to confess. And I tie that to Hebrews 12:1-2. It says, lay aside every weight, which is not necessarily a sin, but it may be something that slows us down in our walk with the Lord and running the race, or the sin that so easily ensnares us, and it's so easy. Sometimes we have, maybe we have victory in a number of different areas, but maybe there's one or two things. Maybe it's our temper when we're on Central Expressway or somewhere here in Dallas or maybe whatever city you happen to live in. Then when the people around you have road rage, you're tempted to let it rub off on you or something of that nature. But we can confess that to God, and He will forgive us. He will cleanse us. And then in James 5, there's a biblical basis for doing what you talked about. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And whether it's a physical illness or spiritual weakness, I think the term there has to do with a kind of weakness. We could very well need to get the encouragement of being able to honestly say to a brother or a sister, I need you to pray for me about this particular thing. Mm-hmm. And really appreciate you bringing that up. I love the three purposes that you've spelled out of sharing God's Son, loving God's people, and building God's kingdom. I'd like to zero in on that third one. You know, the first two seem to fit right into loving God with all your heart and mind and soul, and a second one with loving your neighbor as yourself. But talk a little bit about building God's kingdom. How can we do that in the lives that God has given us?
Okay, this is the one where we're going to be most energized. Depending on your gift, because some people are most energized by evangelizing. But building God's kingdom means understanding what your gift is and then using it for God's glory. And so you get someone like me who I think it's probably safe to say my primary gift would be teaching. I am dying on the vine if I am not teaching in some capacity. And so how can I take that gift and use it for the glory of God's kingdom? That's what building out God's kingdom looks for me. I believe it also looks like being generous with our time and with our treasure. But if you are someone where your gift is encouraging, you have the gift of encouragement, you need to be going alongside people, cheering them on, helping them in the task that's in front of them. But when we're operating in our spiritual giftedness and we're just walking through the doors that God opens, that's how we're building out his kingdom.
Boy, I love the thought about that, of building his kingdom, using our spiritual gifts, which leads to the subject of some ways to discover our gifts, because we may have some folks listening to us, Rebecca, who would say, spiritual gifts, I've heard of them, but I don't know what mine is. Do I have one? And every believer has at least one gift. But how do we discover and discern and begin to use those?
Well, here's one of the kind things about God. He tends to take that thing that just energizes us and excites us, and when we are using that for God's glory, that is usually where our gifting is. Now, if you look in 1 Corinthians, I want to say it's 1 Corinthians 12, but now that I'm on the spot, I can't remember for sure, and I hesitate to say that with too much confidence. But there are lists in Ephesians and 1 Corinthians 12.
You're right.
And Romans 12.
Yes.
That talk about some of the spiritual gifts. And so there's a spiritual gift of mercy, of prophecy, of,
You've got a great list of them, but what you're saying is go to those passages, 1 Corinthians 12, right. Ephesians 4, and going to those. 1 Peter, chapter 3, talks about speaking gifts and serving gifts. And, maybe some people say, well, I could never talk to somebody. I can't speak. But maybe they have the gift of mercy, the gift of helps, maybe to visit someone in a nursing home. I like to relate spiritual gifts to riding a bicycle. You need to learn how to ride a bicycle, but then you have to get out there and try it out and test it out and use it and let other people give you some feedback. Maybe the first time you taught that class, you didn't do such a good job, but try it out for two or three or four or a dozen times, and who knows, you may discover that, like Rebecca Carroll, you have the spiritual gift of teaching. Rebecca, we're coming down to our last minute. Do you have any final thoughts that you would share with us tonight?
I think one of the things that has helped me most in my spiritual walk is asking the Lord to help me to assume a posture of generosity. And that manifests itself when I assume that if someone says something that's hurtful, I'm just going to assume that their heart for me is good. Yeah. Or if someone cuts me off in traffic, I'm just going to assume that they're very stressed out and anxious and they have to get somewhere quickly. And in doing that, the Lord has just given me this peace. I feel closer to Him. And that's just something I've had to pray for. But I think that's been the one thing that has really helped me the most to come out of the spiritual season of dryness. Because God is, in His essence, generous and giving. And when we do that, we are being as much like Christ, I think, as we can possibly be.
Thank you, Rebecca.